For more than 40 years, Africa's largest country, Sudan, has been fighting a civil war. More than 2 million people have been killed, and thousands of children have become orphans. Some of those children now are beginning new lives in the United States. They're part of a resettlement program that's one of the biggest since the Vietnam War. NPR's Jackie Northam reports.
In late 1987, Emmanuel Makinder was a young boy asleep in his home when Islamic military forces attacked his tiny village.
And then I just hear the sound of guns, the shooting at night, people.
Emmanuel says he started running, trying to escape the guns, the bombs, and the fire spreading rapidly through his village. In the chaos, he became separated from his parents and 8 siblings. Alone and frightened, Emmanuel says he hid in some bushes until the attack was over. Then he began to walk and saw other children fleeing the area.
And then I just followed the road, and I see Sudanese people like me also, they are boy. I just joined them. They don't have gun. We don't know where we are going, really. The only thing we run away to save our life in the bush.
Emmanuel's group of children soon joined another, and then another. Most were from the Dinka or newer tribes. In time, more than 20,000 children, mostly boys, formed a slow-moving column. And over the next 5 years, crisscrossed hundreds of miles through Sudan and Ethiopia, looking for safety and help. They became known as the Lost Boys of Sudan. They finally ended up in a sprawling refugee camp in northern Kenya. By then, about half of the children had died. Terry Walsh with Catholic Social Services interviewed many of the boys at the camp, and is surprised any of them made it as far as Kenya.
During their journey, often some of the boys would tell me that it was necessary for them to try to lick the dew off of leaves and to try to survive just on every little ounce of water or food that they could find. They lost the clothes that they were wearing from bandits. If they did have any food, someone would either steal it or animals would attack them and take it.
The boys languished in the Kenyan camps for 9 years. Then the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees and the U.S. State Department recommended more than 3,500 of the boys be resettled in the United States, including more than 3,000 who are now over the age of 18. They're heading to cities which are big enough to provide employment opportunities, but small enough where the boys won't be overlooked. 5 months ago, Emmanuel set off from Nairobi on his first plane ride, ending up the next day in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Tell everybody what you did, Emmanuel.
Okay, today is really very happy. I get a happy job.
Emmanuel sits at a dinner table with his new foster family, the Krogs, and digs into a huge plate of spaghetti and meat sauce. Emmanuel has gained 2 inches around his waist since coming to live with the Krogs. When he and other lost boys arrived in Grand Rapids, his foster father, Stephen, says clothes just hung off the boys' skeletal frames, and they looked frightened. Leaving Africa and coming to America presented a whole new set of challenges for Emmanuel, says Krog.
There's a lot of little things that need explaining. Electrical things, hot water, here's what we use a sink for. How can you talk into a telephone and people hear you and you go and show them the wires out in the street?
Paper or plastic?
Papers.
Emmanuel works part-time at a local supermarket while he goes to school. He started to settle down into his new life, but doesn't lose sight of his broader goal. He talks about returning to Sudan one day as a pastor. Many of the lost boys believe they made it this far for a reason, and that it's important their story be told. 23-year-old Sismayo Faki, who has been resettled in Lansing, Michigan, says he wants to follow the example of Nelson Mandela to help his people back in Sudan.
I want to be like him, to talk about freedom, to fight for freedom like him. He has fought for freedom for South Africans. And through that, we'll be able to get freedom into our country.
Faki, who arrived in March, is one of the lost boys who's now over 18 years old. They cannot be placed in the foster care system and have to earn a living. Local agencies help them get an apartment, sign up for benefits such as food stamps and Medicaid. They're often hooked up with a mentor or volunteer to help them negotiate their way in a strange new environment.
Sweet potato. Yeah.
Sweet potato.
Different.
It looks different.
Ours.
At a local grocery store, Faki and his Sudanese friends examine and choose from aisle after aisle of fruits and vegetables. Faki carefully calculates the price of everything they put in their basket. Here, the promise of a new life blurs with the reality of day-to-day living. Donna Abbott, the director of Bethany Christian Services, says once the excitement of arriving in America wears off, other problems will come up.
They get here, and first it's survival again. It's learning the culture, the language, getting used to a new family, new rules. Then all of that comes back to them. They're safe, they're well-fed, and then they start thinking again and remembering those experiences. So the nightmares intensify, their anger, survivor's guilt, all those things come flooding back.
Abbott says some of the boys suffer from severe headaches and other signs of stress, but she says there are a few therapists who speak the same language as the lost boys. Abbott says local organizations try to lift the tension by holding get-togethers where the boys can talk about their past and share their new experiences in America. At this weekly church meeting, some of the lost boys of Sudan look like they're acclimating nicely to their new homeland. They wear baseball hats, sunglasses, and high-topped running shoes. They've lost their homeland, their culture, and their childhood. But for now, it's a time to relax, to laugh, and if they're lucky, act like kids, something they've been denied for so long. Jackie Northam, NPR News, in Grand Rapids, Michigan.